Welcome to The Daily Diagnosis, a healthy lifestyle podcast provided by Ogden Clinic. We're your prescription for health-centered conversation, stories, and advice. I'm Parker Shaw, and with the help of my team and featuring the talented providers of Ogden Clinic, you'll reach a positive prognosis for your podcast addiction by listening to The Daily Diagnosis. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Daily Diagnosis. You are here with Parker.
And Scott.
And we have Dr. Stevenson, who's actually joining us today. Dr. Stevenson, we're super happy to have you back on the podcast. How have you been lately?
Been doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Awesome. Well, we're so happy to have you, especially in preparation for March. In March, we put a big emphasis on vasectomies. And do you want to kind of explain why we do that, Dr. Stevenson? I feel like that's kind of a fun campaign that we usually do. And would you mind explaining that a little bit?
Sure thing. And I don't know where this all started, but somewhere in the past, someone decided that if they could get some time off to watch March Madness and not have any excuse or have a good excuse to lay around on the couch and not do anything else, that a vasectomy would be good. Kind of kill two birds with one stone. So that's how it started. And that's why we push it a little bit in March, so that you can have a reason to lay around on the couch and also get the vasectomy over.
Right. There you go. Double dip right there. It is really smart marketing tactic, and what a good time.
I wish we could take credit for that.
No, it's not. We were not the brainchild. It's not our brainchild at all, but I did read somewhere that I think like nationally the average of vasectomies that are done like raises by like 30% or something like that. Because, you know, who doesn't want to do that? That's right. Great. So we wanted, with that in mind, to talk about vasectomies today and just talk about some of the basics, but also with your expertise and opinion, just get an insider view of how the procedure is. And I think, you know, we're three guys here, and I think talking about vasectomies can be kind of, you know, sensitive subjects, kind of scary for some people that don't have a lot of knowledge, if we're being transparent.
For sure.
But we thought, you know, it'd be great to talk about that today. So just opening this up a little bit, can you explain, you know, just the basics of a vasectomy?
Yeah, so first I think you need to understand a little bit of the anatomy there. What is a vas deferens? So the testicles produce sperm, and that sperm has to be transported up and out, and it's done through a tube called the vas deferens. So you have one for each testicle. And a vasectomy is a permanent birth control form where that tube is divided so that the sperm can't make up and out of the testicles.
Right. That was simple. That was straightforward.
Yeah, exactly.
When you explain it that way, it doesn't sound that bad. But then I think when you think about all that goes into like the procedure, it can get a little scary.
Well, exactly, because of the area, especially where it is. Right. I mean, how invasive would you say that something like this is?
This is pretty minimally invasive, about as minimal as a procedure as you can get. The incisions are literally like a quarter of an inch or less. They're tiny little incisions. You give that a few days, and once it's healed up, you can't even tell where those were. But you're right. Like, you're thinking of that area. That's an area that you, your entire life, have tried to protect.
Right.
So it does take a little bit of wrapping your head around it to kind of get comfortable with the idea of doing it.
Definitely. Well, and when we mean like asking about that a little deeper, what do you guys use for the procedure? I know that, you know, some like the reputation of like a scalpel is very like, whoa, don't even want to think about that. What do you guys use tool-wise?
So to do a vasectomy, you have to open the skin somehow. And so there are no scalpel vasectomies, which is, to be honest, kind of more of a marketing thing. Instead of using, if you get a true no scalpel vasectomy, instead of using a scalpel, you actually use an instrument to poke a hole in the skin and then spread and tear the skin open. So when you say it like that, it doesn't sound
as
appealing.
Yeah, hearing tearing of the skin, I'm out.
Yeah, so I actually use a combination of the two. I use a scalpel to make a small little nick in the skin, which makes a much cleaner opening, and then I kind of help spread that opening up a little bit more with the other tools. And then the actual procedure, what happens is through that tiny little incision, I'm able to grab just the vas deferens, separate it from everything else that's in there, and pull that little tube up through that skin incision. I cut a little section out of the tube, cauterize the two ends that are left over so they scar shut and then tuck everything back in.
Nice.
And you'll end up with, you know, a little suture or stitch, one on each side, that's really small and dissolvable. It falls out in about a week or so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
No. Yeah. Well, and I feel like it's common for, you know, the downtime for patients is pretty, you know, it's not a lot, right? People, like, right. They're, I think, aren't most guys awake during the procedure?
Yeah. So this is done in the office. It takes about 15 minutes. I do it under a little bit of local anesthetic, so a small injection of lidocaine. That's really the only part that you feel and is a little bit uncomfortable, but that passes really quick, and then that numbs up almost immediately. No, you don't really feel much after that.
Yeah. So it's not like you have to get wheeled out in a wheelchair, right, like carried home. It's like you can get up and walk after, even.
Yeah,
even
guys get up and they walk. You can drive yourself if you want to. So it's really, as far as like a minimally invasive procedure goes, this is like on the minimal side of minimally invasive.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, there is obviously a recovery that you have to go through, mostly to prevent any issues going forward. So I tell guys when they schedule this, they should plan on taking, you know, the first 48 hours or so, like laying on the couch. So this is where the March Madness comes in. It's like you want to be feet kicked up, ice on and off. Like you try to avoid standing for long periods of time so you don't get a lot of swelling, etc.
Right.
So about 2 days of taking it really easy, and then 1 week of light duty. You can go back to normal day-to-day activities if you don't want to do anything that causes you to strain.
Right. Well, that's great advice. So talking about vasectomies, we look at it as a permanent solution, but is it completely permanent? What should people, I guess, what would you tell patients if they asked you that?
So I tell patients that you should go into this with the mindset that this is permanent. So you shouldn't think, oh, I'll get this vasectomy now and reverse it later. So then the reason for that is there are vasectomy reversals, but they're expensive, they're more invasive, and the success rates aren't great. That's not 100% guaranteed that the reversal is going to end up in you being able to get pregnant. So you should go in with the mindset that you want a one-and-done long-term birth control.
Right. So we always joke about when this time of year comes up, like the Office quote where Michael Scott says, you don't know the physical toll of having snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap, of getting three vasectomies. And I think it's nice to think of it as a permanent solution. So it sounds like, you know, with their partner, they should really consider it as, you know, something that should just be done once.
Right.
Well, that's great.
I'm going to jump in. I got a question. So starting in healthcare, you know, several years ago, I didn't realize testosterone levels in men, it's a pretty common thing to have low testosterone.
Right.
Is this is it a concern after the vasectomy of having your testosterone levels drop?
Not at all. So vasectomy has nothing to do with testosterone levels. You know, testosterone is produced in the testicles, but it goes through your blood system. So it flows out of the testicles into your bloodstream. And the vasectomy doesn't impact the testicular blood flow in and out of the testicles at all. So this should have no impact on your testosterone levels, shouldn't have any impact on sexual function or sensation. In fact, give this a few weeks, and once you're healed up, you shouldn't even know you've had anything done.
Wow, that's impressive then.
Yeah, it's like one less thing to have to worry about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, seriously.
I think that's probably a common misconception. People think that, like, you know, if anything is done down there, that it could, you know, alter, you know, like their sex life or testosterone levels. But it's nice to hear that it is, you know, shouldn't alter it more than,
right,
than anything you said.
In fact, interestingly enough, they did some studies that where they actually talked to couples about sexual satisfaction before and after vasectomy. And kind of sexual satisfaction actually went up after vasectomy, probably because the worry of getting pregnant went down. So
yeah,
if anything, makes things better.
Right. That's interesting. So moving on a little bit, let's say we have some people in the audience that are listening today that are maybe considering getting a vasectomy done. What should they do in preparation?
So first thing, like we've talked about before, discuss it with your partner and make sure that you're done having kids and you want this to be a long-term solution. But then otherwise, the preparation is pretty minimal. You call up, you make an appointment. I guess the one big point in preparation is you need to shave the area. That makes it more difficult if you haven't shaved, and then we'll have to shave you in the office, which is a little bit awkward. So make sure you shave beforehand. But otherwise, you don't need to be fasting. You just come in and you get it done and you head on home, watch the game.
Nice. it's nice that you can, like, you don't have to go in there super hungry. I feel like that's the worst thing about getting a surgery done, is having to fast before it.
Yeah, you're actually better off if you eat a good breakfast before you come in. You have less chance of kind of getting lightheaded and fainty.
There you go. Well, we talked about downtime a little bit. So you said a week is probably like a few days of like maybe more downtime, but then a week of like light.
Yeah, light duty.
Light duty. Yep. Perfect.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's important, because if you go, the times that I see guys that run into trouble is they do too much too soon, because you'll feel pretty good. Give it a day or two and you actually feel really good. You don't have a lot of pain. And some guys will go out and like lift weights or go horseback riding or something like that. I wish that was a made up story, but we did have a patient come back who went horseback riding like a few days later and end up in trouble. But those are the guys that end up in trouble, is you don't give yourself time to heal. You go and you strain or do something too much, and then you get extra swelling or some bleeding, and that can lead to longer term problems. So yeah, give it a week off and you should be totally good to go back. That also goes for sexual activity. No sexual activity for a week, then you can go back to normal sexual activity. Now that's, but you do have to continue whatever birth control you're on. It does take time to flush out the live sperm that's in the system, and that takes longer than most people expect. That's like on average an 8 to 10 week process.
Oh, really?
Oh, I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a problem, is if you assume you're good to go and you go off your other forms of birth control, you're likely to get pregnant during that time.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you got to make sure that you give it enough time, and then before you even consider going off other forms of birth control, you need to bring in a semen sample and confirm that there's no sperm left in there.
Okay.
So it needs to be roughly 8 to 10 weeks before you can return for a checkup to make sure that you're clean, good to go.
Yep.
And then after that, you're ready, right?
Yeah. Once you've taken a sample and they look at it under the microscope, there's no sperm left in the sample, then you're good to go. Yeah, you can come off other forms of birth control. Vasectomy has a very high success rate. It's the most effective form of kind of conventional birth control methods. Now, every birth control method has a potential failure rate. The failure rate of vasectomy is just extremely small. So rough estimates are that a vasectomy failure happens maybe 1 in 2,000 times.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of historical data. I would imagine that it's even less than that now.
So would you say that a vasectomy is the best sort of type of permanent birth control? Because, you know, there's options for the women to have things done and other sort of operations that can be done. What would you say, as, you know, with your professional opinion on that?
So there is no question that a vasectomy is lower risk than, say, a tubal ligation for women, or even the more minimally invasive. I don't even know if they do they used to put coils in the fallopian tubes and that kind of stuff, but that's a much higher risk during the procedure, after the procedure. There's no question that a 15-minute vasectomy in the office is a much lower risk procedure than permanent, like, female sterilization.
Awesome. Well, and I was reading an article that just said, you know, if your wife has already had to go through, like, childbirth and everything, do your part, and, you know, you can suffer a little bit, too. It's like, you
can... Yeah, a week on the couch, or 2 days on the couch, yeah. Even. Doesn't really seem that bad.
No, really, though. It really puts things in perspective when you think about it, so...
Yeah, without a doubt.
For sure. Do you want to wrap up with the final question?
Yeah, just especially for my sake, too. Is there anything that you want to talk about that we haven't covered already? Maybe misconceptions people don't understand, or other questions that you get?
Yeah, I think the big thing there is that most guys build this up a lot more in their mind than it needs to be. Almost everyone, when we're done with the vasectomy, says, that's not anywhere near what I was expecting. And I think that's the biggest misconception, that this is a really painful, kind of really traumatic procedure, but really it's really well tolerated. Mm-hmm. The pain is pretty minimal. If you are really anxious about the vasectomy, which is understandable, there's medication we can give you to take the edge off, kind of make you feel calm before the procedure. So I think that's the biggest thing I would like to portray there, is that this really is a good procedure that's really well tolerated, and guys do great.
And it seems like such a short term in the big picture, you know, a week of downtime, mm-hmm. of minimal pain, for a lifetime of
Yes. You're good to go. Carefree sex. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah. You
know? Well, I think that's great. And thank you so much for kind of just covering all those questions that we did have, because I know that, you know, like you said, there's a lot of maybe misinformation, but maybe people also misunderstanding, you know, what a vasectomy is. So I guess for those listeners that are tuning in today that are interested in a vasectomy, you can find out more information about vasectomies on OgdenClinic.com, but also more information about Dr. Stevenson and our March Madness type promotional marketing materials at OgdenClinic.com. So thank you so much for tuning in and listening to today, The Daily Diagnosis. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of The Daily Diagnosis. We're so happy that you joined us today. If you would like to find more information about Ogden Clinic, our providers, or locations, visit us at OgdenClinic.com. If you're listening today from Apple Podcasts app, make sure you leave us a review or subscribe so you can receive more information about the different episodes that we post. We love getting feedback from our audience, so those reviews are priceless to us. If you also would like to shout us out on social media, our Instagram handle is at Ogden Clinic. You can also send us a DM if there's a topic that you would like our providers to cover, and we really look forward to hearing from you. We post episodes weekly, so tune in next week, and we can't wait to be with you again. Have a great week.